excited when she asked because I thought, oh, cool, I get to hang out with Melissa. This is so cool. We don't get to see each other very often, but we've got the kind of friendship that when we see each other, we just pick up where we left off, and that's the kind of godly friendship that I'm so thankful for. So thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I'd also like to give honor to my pastor back home, Brother Mitchell Bland. He is so grateful, I'm so grateful for him. He has just blessed my life, blessed my family's life, and I'm so thankful for him and his leadership in my life. My husband, Michael, who's not here with me, but he's back home serving, and my daughter, Sophia. I'm so thankful for them and that they're my family. So that's out of the way. I want to tell you, while you were worshiping, I saw the church. I saw this church. And I saw that your praise, just like the song said, your praise was a powerful incense. As we were singing, I just saw your praise going up, and it was an incense. And God was not only resting on this church, but he was inhabiting this church. He is here. He is in this church. He is with you right now. And I want you to just to continue that praise that you had started this service with. Continue that spirit of praise and just know that he's here today. Amen. Amen. Well, we are talking about some really cool people. I heard you talked about who, oh wait. Okay, I can ask the audience. I forgot. This is an audience participation. All right. Who did you learn about? Was it Thursday night? Was that your first night? Who did you learn about? What? Friday night, sorry. Who did you learn about Friday night? What's that? Esther. Cool. All right. Now, what really cool thing did you learn about Esther? Can anybody tell me? What did you learn about Esther? Oh, she's got to ask. She's got to ask. That's okay. I used to be shy, too. It's okay. Yeah, I'm not shy anymore. Okay, who can tell me what they learned about Esther? What was really cool about Esther? Yes.
Forgot.
It's okay. Oh, what? She was a Jew. Okay. That's awesome. Oh, are you ready? Okay, what? Tell me.
She was a queen too.
She was a queen. Woo! Very cool. Very cool. Okay, one more thing about Esther.
She was an orphan.
Okay, very cool. See? We can learn interesting things about people in the Bible. Okay, so last night, Saturday night, who did we learn about Saturday night?
Ishmael.
Okay, now, what cool thing did we learn about Ishmael? Can anybody tell me? Yes?
That he was the forgotten son.
He was the forgotten son. I sense a pattern here. What else? Come back. Yes, you had your hand raised.
That he teased Isaac and Sarah didn't care.
Okay. Ooh. Was he kind of a jerk? Okay. Not a soda jerk. Yes.
His family didn't love him, but the family only loved the other son.
Okay. So he felt like he wasn't loved, and the other son was loved before him. Yes.
And his mom left, they were walking for hours and hours, and then his mom laid them down by something, and then his mom left, and Isaac was like, do they even love me, or they just left me here? And one of the angels came down and told him something, and then that was.
Awesome. So he was alone. His mom, she told the whole story. That's awesome. That's good. See? They're listening. He was left alone. He was lonely. How many of you have been lonely before? I have. How many of you felt like you'd been left out? How many of you felt like nobody loves me? Okay. So we know how Ishmael felt. Okay. But the angel of the Lord came. And he told him, don't worry. I'm going to make you a father of a great nation. Don't worry. You may feel left out now, but you will have family. Okay? I have a few scriptures to put up. Judges 6:12. We're going to talk about somebody else really cool today, okay? You probably have heard of him, but if not, this is going to be a great day. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." That's pretty cool. All right. My second verse is Ephesians 6:10-12. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against," what? "Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." All right, my last scripture is Isaiah 54:17. "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. All right. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. That's really what we're learning about. Okay? Now, it's not from their own strength or skill. Just like we learned Ishmael, he was just a boy. Esther, she was just an orphan. It was not their strength or skill, but by the power of God. I know you've had VBS this week. And when we have VBS or Sunday school, we learn about Bible stories. Everybody say Bible stories. Bible stories and Bible heroes. And sometimes we can start to think about these stories or heroes like kind of like we do superheroes or people in our favorite books. It's just sort of a story. It's just sort of a made-up thing in some far-off place. I mean, can you imagine just being an orphan and then all of a sudden being a queen? I mean, who does that happen to? I've prayed for that. Didn't happen. All right? But God wants you to know that these aren't just stories. These were real people. They were real people that God used to pull off some extraordinary, amazing, supernatural things, not for them, but for the glory of God. Okay? It's all for the glory of God. And God wants you to know that when we read about Esther and Ishmael, we tell their story, we're recounting history. That is our history. That's our heritage. And these are real people like you and me. The miracles are real. The stories are real. We retell these stories because we need to remember who God is, because God, it's not Ishmael, it's not Esther, it's not even the guy who we're going to talk about, but God is the real hero of the story. God is the real hero of the story. Now, these stories are for us to look at and see, wow. Not just a cool story to read at bedtime or if we're bored in the car just to listen to, but God can really show up in my life and make a way for me. He did it for Esther. I mean, I may not be queen, but he can show up just for me. I may not be Ishmael. I may not be the father of a great nation, but God can show up for me. He can send an angel and they can talk to me. God can show up just like he did in this book. This gives us an idea also how God sees us. Not just how we can see God. We may be ordinary, just a girl from Illinois, but he has extraordinary plans for each and every one of you. Every one of you, he has extraordinary plans for. Okay, I have some things back here. Let's see. They're back here? Okay. What? right behind the table. Oh, sorry, I'm a little blind. Okay, I have some fun things. What is this? A sword. Okay, we got a sword. All right. What is this? A water pitcher. All right. What else we got in here? Oh, okay. Oh, here. What is this? A party. A horn. It's a horn. Okay, one more. Okay. What is this? It's a flashlight. Okay. As you can see, I like orange. All right. This is my table of weapons. My table of weapons. That's a pretty cool table, huh? Do you like my weapons? Okay. We're going to get back to that. But I want you to think. Okay. She's got a table of weapons. Which weapon should I choose? Don't tell me. Okay. You can think about it. Think about it in your head, not out loud. Okay. But if you were in a battle, a battle to the death, which weapon would you choose? I'm supposed to say it. All right. I'll ask you later, and you can tell me then, okay? All right. The story starts with the children of Israel. Everybody say the children of Israel. They were being bad. Oh, those Israelites. They were evil. Again. Surprise. And, you know, God delivered them. He clothed them. He fed them. He took care of them. And they just ignored it all. And they just went back to their old fleshly ways, their old sin. Does that sound like anybody? Do we learn from our mistakes? Oh, kids are so honest. They're like, nope. Not at all. I taught a couple of weeks ago, and I asked my kids, I asked the audience, I said, do we listen? And they're like, nope. That's a kid. All right. Do we learn from our mistakes? Sometimes, maybe? She said no. Okay. Well, the Lord had enough. Everybody say enough. And they were defeated by the Midianites. Everybody say Midianites. Okay. They went back to captivity. They're not learning their lesson. They need to go through it again so they can learn. Now, does that sound like anybody we know? I'm sorry, I'm stepping on toes. I'm stepping on my own toes, too. So if that makes you feel any better, they need to go through it again so they can learn to trust God. Has anybody ever had to go through something a couple of times before you figured it out? Yeah, it's really annoying. Like, did your mom say, you need to clean your room? And then you're like, okay, how can I do this really fast? What is the easiest way for me to get out of this? And then, oh, and you throw everything in the closet and you shut the door. You're like, Mom, I did it. And she comes in and she's like, and then she opens the closet door and everything spills out. Oh, and she's like, nope, you got to do it again because you didn't quite do it right. Right? Okay. So you have to learn and you have to do it the right way. Okay. So, the people were miserable in their sin. God was trying to teach them. You just have to trust me. You just have to follow me. So, the Lord sent an angel to a man named Gideon. Everybody say Gideon. Okay, he was just in a field working. Okay. The angel said, "The Lord is with thee, O mighty man of valor." If you were working and an angel appeared, or if you were in your room and an angel appeared and said, "The Lord is with thee, O mighty man, woman of valor," what would you do? Somebody tell me, what would you do? What would you do? I would scream, yes? What would you do? What would you do? I would hide it. I look, what would you do? Hide under my bed. This is exactly what I would do. First of all, I would scream. I would duck. And I would start shaking and may even pee my pants. I don't know. I don't know. You don't know when you're, you've never been in that situation. I mean, really. But what did Gideon do? Did he say, "Yes, Lord"? No. He said, Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. What is happening to us? Didn't you deliver it? He just starts complaining. An angel of the Lord comes and calls you a mighty man of valor, and you just tell, well, I don't know how we got into this mess. We are in this mess, and I don't know what to do, and what are we going to do? And now we're forsaken. Oh. Come on, Gideon. Excuse me, Gideon. Did you miss the memo? Did you miss the part where he said, "Mighty man of valor"? Or even yet, "The Lord is with thee"? Did the Lord get upset? Nah. He just gently said, "Go in thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the..." He just comes in. He just comes in. "You're going to save the Israelites. Go in thy..." Okay. So God is patient. God is patient. He said, "Have I not sent thee? Didn't you hear me? I sent you." So now Gideon says, okay, right? "Oh, my Lord." He just keeps going. "Oh, my Lord, how will I save Israel? I'm poor. I'm a nobody. I don't know any. Nobody knows me. Not even my family likes me. Nobody likes me. What am I going to do? Who's going to follow me? How am I going to save Israel?" That's what he does. The Lord again reminded him gently, "Surely I will be with you, and you will smite the Midianites. It's going to be okay. I'm going to be with you. You'll smite the Midianites." Okay? Poor Gideon. Gideon still didn't believe God. He said, "Okay, if it's really you, if you really want me to do this, show me a sign." Gideon, the angel is right there. I mean, he is the sign. It's kind of like, hello. But he was patient. And a fire came and consumed his sacrifice. Okay, he finally decided it must be the Lord. Poor Gideon. Why am I telling you this? Because I want you to see how similar we can be to an ordinary man in the Bible who was called a mighty man of valor. He doesn't sound like a mighty man of valor, does he? He kind of sounds whiny. He kind of sounds like he has anxiety. I also do. I also have ADHD, so I can't imagine what the Lord would call me. But he called Gideon a mighty man of valor. In our anxiety, our worry, our doubt, we can miss what God is saying to us. We can miss it. We're worrying. Oh, Lord, what do I do? I'm telling you, listen. In our complaining and our doubting, we can miss the blessings that God has for us. When God calls you, he calls you. Okay? It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. He will call you. God sees us as mighty. Do you know he sees you as mighty? Okay. Take a little minute. Look at yourself. Think about yourself. I mean, you know, in your brain. Am I a mighty man, woman of valor? Okay. We see our mistakes. We see our flaws. We see how we're not good enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not popular enough. I'm not that good at sports. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. But God says you are his child. And you will do amazing things for his glory. Every single one of you. Not that just the people with the microphone. Not just the people in the pulpit. Every one of you have been called and chosen by God to do amazing things for him. I was 13 years old. Who's 13 in here? I was 13 years old when God called me to preach. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't even know if I'd ever seen a woman preacher at 13. All I knew was like, I just felt like I was special. I felt this calling. And then I started to look at myself. And I started to say, no, that can't be right. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm a girl. I'm not smart enough. I don't get good grades in school. I don't have like a big last name, you know, like so-and-so and so-and-so and these people. Nobody knows who I am. I'm a nobody. But he put that burning passion in my heart. And for a long time, I kept that to myself. I kept it to myself because I thought it was me. I thought it was just like my imagination. Like, oh, I wanted something, so it's me. But trust God. He does not make mistakes. He does not make mistakes. We make mistakes, but he doesn't make mistakes. Okay? So back to Gideon. Okay. So he knows he's going to go into battle. Ooh. He's unsure. He just doesn't know. Gideon is so full of doubt that he just has to go back and test God. Man, Gideon. I'm wondering if at this point the Lord was like, should I have asked somebody else? If this is really you, if this is really supposed to happen, I'm going to put this fleece, this sheepskin on the ground. Okay, now I was trying to find a sheepskin, but I'm not a sheep farmer. So I found something that may feel a little bit like fleece. And you guys can pass it around. It's just material, but it's soft. And they had these around, so you can hold that and pass it around and talk to each other about it and see how that feels. So he had this fleece, this sheepskin, and he said, okay, God, this is what I'm gonna do. Okay, if it's you, I'm gonna put this fleece on the ground, and when the dew falls, how many of you know what dew is? Like when you wake up really early in the morning, you go outside and your feet are all wet? That's dew. It falls in the middle of the night. Okay. He said, I'm going to put this fleece on the ground. And when the dew falls, if it's you, the ground will be dry, but the fleece will be wet. Then I'll know it's you. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Gideon. All right. So the Lord does it. He wakes up the next day. The ground all around the fleece is dry. And the fleece is wet. It's so wet that when Gideon picks it up, he squeezes it, and it fills a bowl full of water. It's so full of water. Okay? It just wasn't sprinkling dew. It was full of water. Okay? The Lord was like, da-da-da-da! So now you think, Gideon, I mean, come on, Gideon. Nope. He's like, okay, wait. I could see how that would happen, you know, because fleece is very absorbent. He's talking himself out of it. Come on now. Has anybody ever talked themselves out of something that the Lord is trying to do for you? He's talking himself out of it. Okay, if it's really the Lord, then we're going to flip it. Okay, so when I wake up tomorrow, Lord, all the ground will be wet, but the fleece will be dry. I think he's like, okay, if this doesn't happen, then I get out of it, and I don't have to go to battle, and I don't have to do these things. But when he woke up the next day, there it is. The fleece was dry, and all the ground was wet. okay, I think this is really the Lord. I really think that he wants me to do this. Okay, I'll do it. So he and his father gathered up a bunch of people to go into battle. I mean, these were the Midianites, okay? There were 135,000 warriors. 135,000 warriors. That's a lot of people. Gideon's like, we got to find some people to fight with us. So Gideon rounded up about 32,000. 32,000. That's not the same as 135,000. Okay, so I need about 6 boys and 6 girls, whoever comes up first. It does not matter. 6 boys and 6 girls. You figure it out. Come on! They're waiting for lunch! Well, get over here. Go over here. Go over here. You don't have to separate. Go over here. Go on. Everybody together. You're the warriors. Come on, act like it. Okay. Hi. Okay, so he's like, okay, I finally got everybody. I finally got everybody. That's okay. Go ahead. He's got 32,000 warriors. Okay, we're a ragtag team, but we're going to do it because the Lord is on our side, right? Right? Yeah. And the Lord said, nope, you got too many. What? Lord, they have 135,000. We have 32,000. What do you mean, too many? He said, nope, there's too many. I don't want Israel to say they defeated the Midianites by themselves. I want somebody to hear that today. I don't want them to know or think that they had their own power. I want them to know that it was the one true God that was victorious in this battle. Remember, God is the hero of every story. So send everybody home who's afraid. Everybody who's afraid, send them home. I want 7 people to go back and sit down. I don't care who it is, just go. If you're afraid, 7 of you need to go sit down. They're ready to go. Okay, I'll just pick you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, go sit down. Okay, surely, Lord. Yep, come back up. We need 5. Oh, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep. Surely, Lord. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I did that backwards. I need 2 more of you to come. You come back up. And you come back up. Come on. Sorry. My math is not like the Lord's. Okay. It's fine. You can. It's fine. All right. There's too many. Too many. Okay. Now, Lord, we must have enough. This must be good enough. We're really going to sink down there. There's thousands of them. She's fine. Surely get defeated. How are we going to win a battle? She's okay. With 10,000 people. They only had 10,000 left. They sent 22,000 back home. They only had 10,000. How are we going to defeat this battle? You're right, Gideon. There's still too many. You're right, Gideon. What was I thinking? There's still too many. Wait. Wait, Lord. No, no. Okay. He said, yep, there's still too many. So I want you guys to go down to the water, and I want you to have everybody drink. So everybody, can you get on your knees? I'm not going to make you drink. Just get on your knees. I promise. He said, have them get on their knees and drink water. Okay? Those that drink like a dog, when they lap it up, will be sent home. Those that drink by bringing the water to their lips, they will stay. So I want 4 of you to go back to your seat. 4 of you to go back to your seat. 1, 2, 3, 4. Go back to your seat. Come on. Now Gideon is shaking in his boots. There were only 300 left. 135,000. 300. That doesn't seem like that's a good even number. How in the world are we going to defeat this great army? You guys can stand back up. Give them a hand. Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. So the 300 men were standing there. How are we going to defeat this army? I want you to know God desperately wants you to trust him. She asked if I had a word for you. And I do. God desperately wants you to trust him in your situation, whatever that may be. This is a lesson I've had to learn really, really hard the last 3 years. My daughter started having anxiety attacks. This isn't in my notes. I don't know where it's going. My daughter started having anxiety attacks so bad. She would be home from school. I was scared she was going to hurt herself. She did hurt herself. There were times when I thought we were going to lose her. I stood over her body. And I fought death over her. The last 3 years have been a journey, to say the least. Now, I could have been angry at God because, God, you gave me this beautiful baby. You gave me this beautiful treasure, and now all of a sudden, nothing makes sense. You said if I prayed that God would heal her. I don't see healing happening. What do you do in that situation? When you are asking God for something, and he does not give it, do you say, well, too bad, and walk away? Or do you hold on and trust God no matter what happens? That's what we have to decide in whatever situation we are in. We have to decide, I'm going to trust God. He knows all the answers anyway. He knows what's going to happen anyway, and he knows what needs to happen. I could come up with 1,000 solutions, but they're not God's solutions. I could come up with 1,000 scenarios where things could just magically be okay. But that's not how God works. He works when we give him everything. He works when we say, okay, God, it's your turn. I'm giving you my all. I'm giving you my will. I trust you. Trust is a very, very hard thing. All of us have been hurt in this room. All of us have been betrayed. All of us have been bullied. All of us have been put through something where we have a really hard time trusting. But God is here to tell you, you can trust him. He is trustworthy. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He took all of that away from Gideon just to show him, it's me, Gideon. I'm the one who's going to win, not you. You're my vessel. You're the one standing in my place so I can do the work. When we realize that, when we realize whatever situation I'm in, God is going to come through if I would just let him. How many of us are holding God back because we feel like we have to do it ourselves? Okay, I'm done. Not really. I mean, I'm done with that. He wants you to let him help you. Stop trying to do it yourself or the way you think it should go. He sees all and he knows best. Well, I've prayed and I've asked God. Yep. keep praying. Keep praying. Keep asking. He wants you to. But I want to ask you this question. How much are you listening? There's a practice we do in kids' prayer at my church, and we talk about listening. We'll pray for a little bit, and then we stop. We stop the music. We stop the noise. We stop the talking. We stop and we close our eyes, and we take about a couple of minutes, and we listen. Because how many times have we prayed and prayed and prayed, and then we get up and we go about our day, but we haven't stopped to listen to what God might be telling us? Okay. So let's look at our weapons here. Let's look at our weapons here. We've got a sword. We've got a pitcher. We've got a horn. And we've got a flashlight. These are the weapons that God told Gideon to use. A pitcher, a trumpet, and a flashlight. Well, what about the sword? He's going into battle. He needs a sword. How is he going to defeat anybody without a weapon? Wait, God gave him a weapon. He gave him three. He gave him a pitcher. He gave him a horn. And he gave him a flashlight. Who decided what weapon they were going to? Did you say what weapon you were going to use? Which was it?
A sword.
A sword. I would use a sword. I'm going into battle. Who chose a flashlight? Did you? It's because it's cute and it's orange. Okay. That's why I got it. Because it's orange and it matches my shoes. Who chose the horn? Who chose the horn? You did? Yeah. Why? Because it makes noise? Yep. Totally. See it? Who chose the pitcher? Oh, why? Because it was shiny? She's, oh, yeah, girl. It was shiny. That's right. How will a pitcher, trumpet, and flashlight do anything against 135 people? God wants you to stop focusing on the problem and start obeying what he wants you to do. Because Gideon could have stopped there and said, God, I'm not going. You gave me these piddly little things to go up against these people. I'm not going. I can't do it. I don't think that I can do it. Right? You can't do it. But God can. He's giving you the tools for the job. And doing it so that you can see his hand in the outcome. God wants to be the hero of your story. Your story. So they gathered up in the middle of the night. They surrounded the hills around the Midianite camp. Gideon went down. He said, I got to figure out what's going on. I'm scared. He went down to spy. He overheard a man tell of a dream he had. He dreamt that a cake of barley. How many of you have ever had pizza dreams? Yeah? Dreams that you're like, what did I eat last night to make me dream that? Oh, you may not understand, but when you get older, you will understand. Sometimes pizza does not. Anyway, side note. This guy had a dream that a cake of barley bread. How many of you have ever had barley bread? No. You have? Oh, I've never had barley bread. I think it's just probably one of those things. It's just a cake of bread. Bread rolling down the hill. And the bread smote the army. What? The other guy's like, what kind of dreams are you having? And then another guy said, you know what? That dream means that God has delivered the sword of Gideon into our camp. And he's going to defeat us. What? How does barley bread and Gideon make any sense? He's like, nope. That's what that means. Has anybody ever told you something and you're like, oh? And it changes your perspective of the whole thing? That's what God started to do in the camp of the Midianites. Once that guy said that, oh, do you think that he's going to defeat us? Do you think he's going to, does he have the sword of the Lord? What? Psst, 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 all over the camp. God started then. So Gideon went back to his men and he said, okay, God told me When I blow the trumpet, I want you to blow your trumpets and shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they said, okay. So that's what they did. The minute that Gideon blew his trumpet, blow your trumpets. Ta-da-da! The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And all of a sudden, they broke their pitchers. They turned on their, well, they weren't flashlights. They turned on their torches. And the people in the Midianite camp looked up. They saw this bright light. They heard this crash. They heard the shouting. And they said, oh, no, it's happening. The Lord has come and he's going to defeat us. They started scattering. They started using their swords on each other. They started fleeing. And the Midianites were defeated. Yeah! Go, Gideon! Go, one true God! They were defeated. And did Gideon have to lift a finger? Did he have to lift a sword? Did he have to do anything except obey God? No! All he had to do was obey God, and God took care of the rest. Okay. God has given you weapons. God has given you weapons. They're not physical weapons, like a sword, like a pitcher, like a flashlight. You can't defeat the battle that you face with guns or swords or flashlights. You fight these battles on your knees. You fight this battle with the power of the Lord. All right. I'm going to have the musicians come. And we're going to do something today. If you have a situation in your life, kids, even you, this is for you. If you have a situation in your life, if you have some bullying in your life, if you have some things going on in your family, if you have some fighting, if you have somebody that's hurt you, if you feel like your parents are arguing, if you feel like there's something going on at school that you just don't want to face, adults, if there's things going on in your life, you need a financial blessing. You need a healing. You need God to heal your mind. You need God to heal your heart. You need God to do something in your life. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you need that power that God has given us, because God has given us weapons, I want you to make a decision today, and I want you to come to the front. If you need something from God, we're going to pray. We're going to go to battle where we need to go to battle. We're going to go to battle on our knees in prayer and with the Lord. God has given us a few weapons. They may not make sense to other people, but these weapons are more powerful than a two-edged sword. The sword of the Spirit he's given us. The sword of the Spirit. How many of you know and use your sword of the Spirit? Do you get into the Word? Do you know what God says? This is his living Word. This is God breathed. This is God talking to us. If we have this, it's his living Word. He's given us armor that we can clothe ourselves with every day. Through repentance, he's given us a clean heart where his Spirit can live and help us live a holy life. Through baptism, he's given us identity in him. If you're confused about who you are and you don't know where you belong and you don't know what's going on in your life, God can give you an identity. We are his. We carry his name. And if you're struggling and you need power in your life, you need strength in your life, he gives us his Spirit. He gives us the Holy Ghost. He gives us that power. Power to overcome every situation. So let's all stand today. Kids, if you want to come up to the front, I'd love to meet you up at the front. Adults, if you want something from Jesus, this is your time. This is your time. This is not just for kids. This is for you. God has something special for you. Don't let somebody else get what God has for you. This is your chance. God wants to bless you today. And if you feel like, you know what, me and God are good, we're good, I want you to come and pray. I want you to come and pray for these people who need God to intervene in their life. I want you to come. If you know how to pray and if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to come. I want you to come and I want you to pray behind these ones that are praying because God needs you to pray. God needs that. And these people need that. They need to hear that encouragement. We're going to pray that God fills somebody with the Holy Ghost today. We're going to pray that God helps somebody decide that they want to be baptized in Jesus' name and be His. And we're all going to repent today. So I want everybody to close your eyes. Everybody in the house, close your eyes. We're going to repent because it's always good to get our hearts cleaned out. It's always good to get right with Jesus and get ready for Jesus. So as I pray, I want you to pray, okay? You can pray however you want to pray, but we're going to pray. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your power. Thank you so much for your forgiveness. Thank you so much for giving us an identity in you, for giving us a name that we can cling to. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the wrong things I've done. I'm sorry for the sin that I have in my life. I'm sorry for ignoring you. I'm sorry for being complacent. I'm sorry for lying. I'm sorry for being mean to my friend. I'm sorry for not obeying like I should. I'm sorry, Jesus, forgive me. Clean out my heart. I want a clean heart, Jesus. I want a clean heart. Lord, clean my heart, Jesus. I want it clean so that you can live there right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Let's worship him and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for cleaning out my dirty heart. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing me when I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Now that we've all repented, it's so easy. Right now we're talking and thinking about Jesus. I want you to have that in your mind. I want you to think about Jesus right now. He died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for that forgiveness. And he loves you so much. If you were the only one left on the face of this earth, he still would have gone to that cross for you. He still would have died to save you so that you could be together with him in heaven. That's the kind of God we serve. He will do anything to get you close to him. So let's think about him as we do our four steps of worship. Let's close our eyes. Let's lift our face. He wants to see that creation that he made. Everybody together, this isn't just for children, this helps me. And I want you to lift your hands. When my daughter was little, she would say, hold you, hold you. This is exactly what God wants us to say to him. Hold me, Jesus. I surrender to you. I give it to you. Give it to Jesus today. Raise your hands. He wants to hold you. He wants to fill you. And with your big outside voice, don't be afraid. Talk to Jesus. He wants to fill you up.